the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower. Now, if you're a listener to our weekend broadcast, you're already aware of the volatility that we've been predicting this fall for the financial markets. But you're also aware that we do expect much greater volatility for the markets next year, leading to an eventual recession and a new bear market. So what we wanted to talk about today is protecting your second biggest asset, which for most of you is your 401k, maybe your 457 or 403b plan. And depending on your age, this can take on particular importance. So if you're young and just starting out with your savings plan, a bear market is something that you might welcome, believe it or not, since it does give you the chance to buy stocks at lower prices. And in doing so, you accumulate more shares in the long run. So it may look different to you if you're 5 to 10 years away from retirement, or if you're just retired or in the early years of your retirement. But the last thing you want to see happen is to lose half of your assets just before you retire. I mean, just think of what happened to investors between 2000 and 2013, where investors suffered from two bear markets with losses of 50% and 58% respectively. Basically, the stock market went nowhere for 13 years. And that's just not the scenario you want to face again if you're just a few years away from retiring, again, or if you're retired or in those early years of retirement. So on the program today, what we're going to do is outline steps that you can take to protect those assets.
And before we get to that, Chris, I just want to update our listeners. There is some good news when it comes to retirement plans. The IRS just released the contribution limits for 2019. And the good news here is next year, your contribution limits go up by $500 from $18,500, which is where they were this year, to $19,000. Now, as we have talked about in the past, there's some other good news here too as well. If you are, let's say, age 50 and older, there is something called a catch-up provision, which allows you to make an additional $6,000 contribution to your 401k. So take next year's limit of $19,000, add $6,000 for a catch-up provision if you're over age 50, and now you can put away $25,000. And let me tell you why that's really important, especially if you're saving for retirement. Because as many of you are aware, or soon will be aware when you file your taxes for 2018, what went into effect this year was some lower tax rates, which is the good news. The bad news is you lost a lot of your itemized deductions, from a limitation on mortgage interest to the doing away of the deductibility of state taxes, to limiting property taxes for $10,000 a year. Now, a lot of you maybe in the Midwest may think, hey, $10,000, that doesn't apply to me. But if you live in expensive areas of the country, like California, my own state, or New York or New Jersey, well, you know, it's very likely that the house you own, you pay more than $10,000 of property tax deductions. So the nice thing about your 401k, 457, or 403b plan, depending on where you work, is that money comes right off the top, which means it's not subject to federal taxes and it's not subject to state taxes. It's probably the best thing you can do for, let's say, your own retirement, not to mention the fact that for many of you, if you're putting money into a 401k plan, your employer is probably matching part of your contributions. Now, there's some other things that go into effect too. If you're a high earner or a super saver, you have the ability to sock away even more money. Technically, let's say you are Mr. and Mrs. Larry Lots of Bucks and you're both making a good salary. Well, if you can, a husband can put away $25,000 in his 401k plan, the wife can do the same. $25,000 in her 401k plan, assuming you're over age 50. Now, they also increased the contribution limits on several other programs. If you are self-employed, for example, and use a SEP IRA, next year the contribution will go up by $1,000 from $55,000 to $56,000. The individual IRA will go from $5,500 to $6,000. And if you have a simple IRA, that will go up from $12,500 to $13,000. So here's the good news. Most retirement contributions next year are going to go up by $500 to $1,000. So if you're saving for retirement, this is an excellent way to take advantage of tax-favored plans for saving. Not to mention that, you know, to think about for those of you that work for companies that have matching contributions. And for some companies, usually they limit them to 3 to 6% of your salary up to a certain level. But just think of your employer matching your contributions, how much money you'll be salting away that'll get you closer to reaching your, let's say, your retirement goals. Not to mention the fact that anything you do in your pension plan, whether it's a 401k or another plan, any interest, any dividends, any capital gains, that all goes on tax deferred. And we're going to be talking a lot more about this in the months ahead because we're entering a very different kind of environment for boomers who are heading into retirement. And we'll talk about that in just a minute.
Well, those employer contributions, Jim, as well as the catch-up provision that allows you to put more dollars socked away, that, of course, is the good news. But I do want to discuss the importance of de-risking retirement plan investments, especially if listeners are in that age group where they're approaching retirement, especially given the fact, Jim, that you do expect a recession and bear market either at the end of next year or maybe 2020. I don't think anyone listening wants to go through another downturn like we had in 08 or 2000.
No, and this has become a very important because future retirees are facing three particular issues that necessitate protecting your plan assets. Let's talk about the first one. The first one is retirees are living longer, so you face longevity risk and that your assets are going to have to cover you for a much longer period of time. If you're a woman age 65, you have a 50% probability of living into your 90s. And for men, it's about a 30% probability. So you may spend 25, 30 years into retirement, and one of the problems that you're going to run into is if your retirement years are 25 to 30 years, the second risk that you're going to deal with is inflation. Just think of anything you're spending money on today. I don't care if it's buying a new car, your utilities, your food bill, insurance, your Medicare premiums, everything that you can think of is going up. So don't just think of what you're spending today at age 65. Think what happens, what those expenses will amount to at age 75 or 85, and especially in those latter years where medical expenses become a major portion of your budget. The other risk that is also out there too is we are in a low investment return environment, not just on interest rates, but investments in stocks as well. Anytime you have a prolonged period of stock market gains where the stock market becomes very expensive, as we have now, that is usually followed by a period of low returns in the stock market. Think of what happened between 2000 and 2013. Between 2000 and 2002, the market lost 50% of its value. If you were in tech stocks, as many of you may be today, the NASDAQ lost 70% of its value. Now, at the end of 2002, stocks went back up until we got to 2007, and then we went through another major bear market where stocks lost close to 60%. So it wasn't until we got to April of 2013 that the stock market finally exceeded the peak reached in the S&P in the fall of the year 2000. So we're seeing right now, even with the Fed raising interest rates, an unusually low interest rate environment, and that's been mainly due to central bank intervention to keep interest rates low. Now, there's both good news and bad news which we're going to address shortly. But, you know, the thing that you really have to think about if you are retiring or approaching retirement is rising health care and inflation. Think of it this way. Every decade, your cost of living is going up. And when it comes to health care, it'll be going up between 6 and 7% a year. And unlike past decades, the only reliable source of income for many of you is going to be your Social Security. The rest of what you're going to live on is dependent on what you've saved up, and you're subject to the vagaries of the investment market. So in the months and weeks ahead, we're going to be focusing on a concept called flooring. And what that means is securing a certain level of income to support your basic retirement living needs. So if you look at most retirees, the biggest asset they have is usually number one, the equity in their homes, and number two, their retirement accounts. So your home is a separate issue, which we're going to cover tomorrow with my guest, Kathy Fetke, an expert on real estate investing and residential real estate in terms of the trends and the best places to own and invest in real estate.
Well, Jim, let's get to the nuts and bolts of de-risking a portfolio. I suspect that because of last week's election results, that many listening to the show right now believe that the risk of a bear market and recession may have just increased.
Yeah, one reason we think the risk have risen for a recession. Originally, we thought perhaps at the end of 2019 or early 2020, we're going to be following our indicators here very closely because the thing that happened last week is President Trump no longer controls the economic agenda as a result of the Republicans losing the House. So you now have two forces that are going to be a negative for the economy going forward. One is the Federal Reserve, and the Fed has indicated it's going to keep raising interest rates with the next rate hike coming in December and perhaps more next year. Right now, the dot plot, which is the Fed's own projections of where they think interest rates will be, they're talking about one more for this year and then three additional rate hikes coming next year. So now you have a hostile Congress in the House, which is opposed to the president's economic agenda, and they could tie up the president with countless investigations and new proposals for tax increases to pay for new social programs, not to mention major battles over the government budget. So the result will be gridlock, which the market reacted favorably the day after the election, but there is no forward momentum on anything that would benefit the economy. So we think this accelerates the onset of a recession and a bear market maybe into late next year.
And I'm sure people are thinking about how that impacts their money, their savings, their 401ks. So what should investors be doing with their own 401ks?
You know, if you think most 401k plans offer participants, usually mutual funds, Chris, or ETFs, so you usually have a wide variety of investments to choose from various stock funds to bond funds to international stock and bond funds. Typically, investors follow what we call the 60-40 rule, where they have about 60% of their assets invested in stocks and the other 40% in bonds. But here's the problem. That is no longer working, and it's unlikely to work in the future. And here's why. Up until this year, anytime you had a stock market correction, think of, let's say, the flash crash in 2010, the major correction we got in the markets in 2011 with the pig crisis, the downgrading of debt, Fukushima, all the geopolitical events that were happening in 2011, the market was down close to 20%. Now, if you were in that 60-40 split, your stocks may have been going down, but your bond funds were going up. So they were offsetting the losses in stocks. It worked up until this year. If you take a look at what happened in February in this most recent downturn in October, bond funds went down along with stock funds. As interest rates continue to rise as a result of Fed rate hikes a shrinking Fed balance sheet. Remember, the Fed was propping up low interest rates, which is why you made money on bonds. They were buying to the tune of $80 billion a month in the bond market. Now, they're shrinking their balance sheet to the tune of $50 billion a month. So you just lost a very important prop to the bond market. And then on top of that, the government is running trillion-dollar deficits. The fiscal deficit for 2019 is expected to approach $1 trillion. Now, what does that mean? It means the government, the Treasury, is in the market having to raise more money to finance the deficit. This year, the Treasury will have to raise over $1.3 trillion. So at this point, I would be looking at several strategies to reduce risk and protect your capital. Now, if you're in a bond fund, look at your program that you have with your company and see if they have any high-quality short-term bond funds where the maturity of the bonds are short-term, so you are less exposed to losses as a result of rising interest rates. Now, a better option, and not everybody has this available, would be a fixed guaranteed account. Sometimes 401k plans will have like a fixed account that has nothing to do with the stock market or the bond market. It would be something similar to like an annuity or let's say a CD. It's usually a fixed rate of interest for a short period of time. It could be annual. It could be a couple of years. But the nice thing about it, you don't have to worry about any risk to bonds as interest rates continue to rise. The principal and the interest are guaranteed. So that would be step number one, which is to reduce interest rate risk in your bond holdings. Because, folks, you saw it in February, and you certainly saw it last month. Everything was going down. Commodity prices went down, bond prices went down, stock prices went down, and they went down whether you were invested in the U.S. or you were invested internationally. Now, the second step would be to gradually reduce your stock position as the markets rally, as we have been doing for our own clients. We are now anywhere from 20 to 40% in short-term individual high-quality bonds, and we're also using something called interest rate floaters to protect against interest rate risk and inflation. Interest rate floaters, if you're not familiar with them, think of an adjustable rate mortgage. They're simply corporate bonds that raise their interest rate based on what's going on in the, let's say, federal funds market or the LIBOR market. So, for example, if the Fed raises interest rates a quarter of a point, the interest rate on these bonds rise by a quarter of a point. So instead of experiencing principal loss or lower income, your income is actually going up. That percentage will increase even further as markets rally. We'll be actually reducing our exposure even more to the stock market because the risk will only get greater for the stock market as the Fed continues to raise interest rates, which is going to make it more expensive to borrow money. I don't care if you're shopping around for a mortgage. Mortgage rates are close to 5%. Or maybe you're thinking about buying a new car. That's going to cost you more money. Or simply you're buying merchandise or shopping and putting it on your credit card. All three of those are going to get more expensive. Plain and simple, it's going to get more expensive to borrow money. So you now have, in addition to rising interest rates, you also have the risk of Democratic-controlled House that is opposed to the president's pro-growth agenda. You probably thought you just got rid of silly season. It's finally over. You don't have to see those commercials on TV. Well, folks, get used to it. We have now begun the next presidential election cycle. So we expect to see a lot more volatility in the markets next year as a result of these two factors: a change in politics in Washington and rising interest rates coming from the Fed. So here's the key point. If you are an investor 5 to 10 years away from retirement, you should seriously think about de-risking your portfolio, and especially if you're fully invested in stocks and bonds. Think of how important it'll be for you to protect capital in the coming downturn. As Chris mentioned, do any of you really want to go through 2000, 2002, or 2007 and 2008? 9 again when the stock market lost between 50 and 60%? I just don't think so. Let's say you have $1 million or you have 100,000. How would you feel to see a loss of anywhere from 30, 40, or 50% of that as you begin your retirement? That's not a pretty picture.
Well, and I know this is something that you're currently doing with your clients, Jim, in terms of de-risking, but also with the retirement plans that we see that the company's working on. It brings to mind that we often get feedback from listeners that they like when we give relevant client examples. Those anecdotes tend to be popular. But does anything come to mind right now, Jim, that fits with what we're talking about today?
Oh, absolutely. It'll fit with not only what we're talking about, but also my guest tomorrow, Kathy Fetke, as we take a look at real estate trends. Believe it or not, folks, there's areas that you want to invest in real estate or buy real estate. When you talk about the real estate market, it really depends on where you live. And we just completed a plan for a couple that live in Orange County. If you take a look at California, it's, you know, most of the population lives along the coast. So if you take San Diego, Orange County, which is Newport, Costa Mesa, Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, all the way up to San Francisco, Chris, the further north you travel, the more expensive real estate gets. And this is a couple that live in Costa Mesa. Husband will be retiring at the end of next year. And the result of the plan is selling their expensive home here in Costa Mesa, where it's a seven-figure home. And folks, you may think $1 million buys you a lot in California. It really doesn't. Now, if you're in Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, or someplace in the middle of the country, $1 million would buy you a McMansion. California, it doesn't buy you much. In fact, if you live in California, in San Francisco, it's probably maybe a one-bedroom townhouse. So the plan involves selling their house, which they are in the process of doing now, and then they plan to relocate to Sun City, Arizona, which is a very well-planned-out Del Webb retirement community. The home will be much cheaper, and it's not just the home will be cheaper. The tax rates, they'll go from a 10.3% tax rate down to somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5%. So their tax rates are going to go down. Their cost of living will also go down. We have a program that we use that we can plug in the city that you're living in and the state, and then where you plan to move to, and we can calculate how much cheaper or more expensive it'll be to move wherever you're thinking of considering moving. Based on our program, it would show that by moving from Costa Mesa, California to Sun City, Arizona, their cost of living would be 45% cheaper. And I mean, that involves everything from housing to income taxes. Utilities are much cheaper. Water bills are much cheaper. Gasoline, gosh, gasoline is almost a dollar cheaper a gallon in Arizona than in California. So it will not only free up and allow them, they will be paying cash for their home, which is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a little over $300,000. It'll free up over $1 million for investments after paying cash for their Arizona home.
Now, you mentioned Arizona. What about the change in the temperature? I'm sure that's got to be a factor.
Yeah, having been an Arizona resident at one time myself, I lived there for 28 years, where, you know, in the summer, it can get into the mid, you know, 113, and they've set records before at 119 degrees, but they already have a solution for that, which is travel. And a lot of retirees in Arizona, that's exactly what they do. They get out of town for the summer months. They currently own an RV, which they hope to take off when it heats up during the summer and see the country and also visit their kids, of which two of them work on the East Coast. So when you add it all up, the savings and taxes, housing, the freed up capital for investing makes their retirement dream a reality. Now, one thing that we've done in preparation of the husband's retirement next December is we move a major portion of their assets in their 401k plan, which is seven figures. So we've moved most of the assets in a fixed guaranteed account. So we don't have to worry about interest rate risk. We've also reduced exposure to the stock market considerably. And this is something you really want to do if you're getting ready to retire, because look, this bull market has gone on 9-10 years. It may extend. We don't think there's any risk of a recession or a bear market this year, but the risk for one next year have greatly increased as political winds have changed in Washington. So we've moved their assets to a safer category because they want to have dependable income. So when they retire next year, the plan is to roll the 401k plan into an IRA, where we'll be using individual bonds, conservative blue chip stocks, and cash to ride out the recession and bear market that we expect to unfold as they begin their retirement.
Well, Jim, if our listeners want to contact you regarding their own plan, their retirement plan, or even to de-risk their portfolio, how would they be able to do that? And also, can you tell our listeners about specifically your 401k services?
Okay, so if you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number toll-free is 888-486-3939. There's two things that we can do. Number one, we can offer a free risk analysis. We have very sophisticated risk software that can take a look and assess who you are as an investor, your risk tolerance, and then assign a risk number to your portfolio. But more importantly, it uses up-to-date market metrics and probabilities so it can assess what is your upside of your portfolio if you stay where you are, and let's say that upside is 10%, and what is your downside, which could be anywhere from 30 to 40%, but it translates it into actual dollars. So let's say you're Larry Lotsabucks, or like this couple that has a little over $1 million in the husband's 401k plan in a profit-sharing plan. You know, the upside risk would have been, let's say, 10%, $100,000, versus the downside risk of $300,000 to $400,000. So we can do that, and we'd be glad to do that for you. The other thing that we do, Chris, is we started this at the request of clients, is we now help clients manage their 401k plan for a small nominal fee, because a lot of times, a lot of people sign up with the company and they do an allocation and they just kind of set and forget it. Well, you don't want to be doing set and forget in this kind of market environment. So we take a look at your options that you have, and based on as the economy changes, as our leading economic and risk indicators change, then we direct you in terms of how to direct your investments with your company's plan. Because if that's your major asset, you're going to want to protect it. So once again, the way to get a hold of us, 888-486-3939, and our advisors would be glad to talk to you.
And Jim mentioned our special guest for tomorrow, Kathy Fetke. She is the CEO and co-founder of Real Wealth Network, also the host of The Real Wealth Show. You want to make sure you listen to tomorrow's show. It's relevant to everything we've been talking about today, and that will be on tomorrow's edition of Lifetime Income.
In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. And just a heads up, we are going to be doing some income strategies over the next couple months and beginning of next year, because there are 10,000 of you baby boomers heading into retirement on a daily basis. What do you do if we head into a recession and bear market? Where the good news is there's ways you can protect your capital without sacrificing income to enjoy your retirement years. So we'll be talking about that in the days ahead. In the meantime, until we all talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.